special or additional compensation. If I'm asked to speak at the Teamsters meeting and they give me transportation to Eugene, I got one coming up, OEA, next week. Suppose they pay me for transportation and give me a $25 honorarium. Am I entitled or not entitled to a special or additional compensation?
Well, under this statute, would that involve the performance of official action that you're required to perform without compensation? Or is it an official action that you're not entitled to any special?
Well, let me ask you this, though. Going back to two, particularly if we word it the way we were going to, while a public servant...
You're back on definitions now?
At 2A, he offers, confers, agrees to confer any pecuniary benefit upon a public servant with the intent that such public servant exercise of discretion in his official capacity will be thereby influenced. I would think that would cover what's in this statute.
Well, maybe A is covered, or 1 is covered, but I don't think 2 is. That's the case where the public official solicits compensation to hold court, to render decision, to do some official duty. He demands some sweetener to do it.
It's
a matter of exercise of discretion.
While a public servant solicits any pecuniary benefit with the intent that his action...
Yeah, but one is to influence the action, and the other is to accept compensation for the action itself. In other words, suppose I grant you it's a close question, but suppose I could prove that I held against the guy. I'm certainly not influenced by him, but maybe he paid me just to make a decision. For instance, any mandamus action, perhaps the public official is saying, I'm not going to raise this decision. I know you have to have a decision to get in the voter's stand. Now, if you hit me with $100, I'll make that decision, one way or the other. You won't influence me how I make it.
Under this section, you don't have to show any.
His vote, opinion, judgment, action, decision, or exercise of discretion.
Yeah, but it's to influence and not the making. It will thereby be influenced, not thereby be accomplished. One is the influencing.
Take his example, Lee, of a court having a question before it but refusing to hold court. Would section...
His action?
To influence his action.
Well, isn't this really more of the tipping kind of situation?
The statute, I understand that. The trouble is I think your number 2 covers the tipping situation. That's what we've been worried about all afternoon, is it does cover the tipping situation.
Well, under the bribery statute, you have to show an intent to influence. Under this statute, you don't.
You have to show a duty to do it.
You just have to show that consideration passed when it wasn't supposed to under this statute. For example, paying a assistant district attorney for some advice.
You've got to show the agreement as a consideration for performance. That's showing the agreement, isn't it?
Now, while subsection 2 here is fairly common in the law, a public servant accepting consideration,
yes,
which he is supposed to, number 1 is not. There isn't a great deal of precedent for number 1.
I don't understand this, because I don't see any distinction.
Michigan, in fact, does not prohibit the offering.
Don't you see any difference between 2, paragraph 2, section 3, paragraph 2, the solicitation? Uh-huh. You know?
Not particularly the way we're going to rewrite that thing. You've got to show an agreement, subset paragraph 2. You've got to show that the pecuniary benefit was as consideration for the performance. Now, by my understanding of the law, that's proving a contract. That's what you've got to prove.
Yeah, but one is...
And you certainly, it seems, Obviously, maybe you got to prove what the purpose of it.
Let's suppose that you have a building inspector that has to issue, the law requires him that if five criteria are met, he has to issue a building permit. So he just, in effect, holds up the contractor and says, I'm not going to issue the permit. And we know well that the guy could go to court, get a mandamus, and do it. But he says, if you hit me with $100, I'll issue the report. No discretion involved. I tried to torture my facts so that we're not...
Yeah.
That the individual, it's not a question of soliciting my influence or influencing me to vote one way or another. Mine's either yes or no. I must issue it. But I'm delaying. But I'm telling you, for $100, could you get me for soliciting bribery? I don't think so.
Is vote, opinion, judgment, action?
Action is...
Or either put action or inaction. Get it, sir? Decision or exercise of discretion?
Well, maybe so. God, you're persuasive.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me now, for example, say that you've got a license examiner for a driver's license, and you've passed the examination, you're entitled to a license. He should say, okay, here's your driver's license, but he's not going to give you a passing grade on this thing unless you give him some green stuff.
That action.
Now here, well, yeah, but he's not being bribed to do something. His conduct is not unlawful or improper. I mean, this conduct is proper conduct. He should give you a license. On the other hand, you may be an unqualified individual who shouldn't get a driver's license, and you give him money to get a driver's license issued to you when you're not entitled to it. There you've got improper conduct on the part of the license examiner. But on the other hand, you are qualified, you've passed the examination, and the proper conduct would be for him to give you the license or to authorize its issuance. But he does not, in the absence of a gratuity.
But the point that Lee makes is that what if you said action or inaction under bribery?
Certainly, it seems to me if you say action or inaction, you've covered everything.
I don't think that was our intent. At least I didn't think of this situation. But I really think that Lee's got a point. That at least a good argument could be made that inaction or action, influencing my action. Not which road I take, but whether I take any road.
Well, isn't the real intent of this Section 3 was to try to get into the situation which is not a bribe because it's only a gratuity, it's something less substantial than a bribe, but the fact is we can't draw a bribe statute that doesn't cover the gratuity?
What say you to that, Roger?
Well, the two sections aren't really designed to attack the same problem. The bribe is aimed at a concrete understanding of some sort, or as we discussed earlier, a corrupt intent to influence a decision. Receiving an unlawful gratuity under this statute doesn't require that at all.
What do you mean?
Just requires, for example, a sheriff taking an illegal fee.
This happens a lot, I understand, in Cook County, where to get your case assigned, you give a $30 or $50 bill.
Expedite administrative.
He goes ahead and puts it on the calendar.
But isn't
that bribery under the definition? Certainly if we added the words inaction.
Action or inaction,
I think you've got it.
Well, that's right. Sorry, the statute that happen both the same in one statute.
Well, I think what it's really boiled down to, because what we've really been trying to sweat over all day today, I think they are trying to create a lesser crime here. But we can't create a lesser crime and still get what we're really going to have to do is under bribery is give them a fair amount of discretion in sentencing.
Well, the Supreme Court case for tipping government employees. Forgiving them for good. The awarding of gifts thus related to an employee's official acts is an evil in itself, even though the donor does not corruptly intend to influence the employee's official acts. And that's how they distinguish it from bribery.
Well, the only way, well, I would agree with that, but this statute doesn't say that. Maybe we want to draft a statute that just says that any kind of gift to a public employee, period, is illegal. That's what they're trying to say is really bad, is that tips to public employees are bad, but I'm not sure I want to go that far.
I was just thinking, you might have a problem. Aren't the waitresses downstairs state employees?
Yeah.
Don't you tip them?
Well, but because this statute, as I read it here, does not contain anything that is not in Section 2. You've got to prove an agreement here, certainly.
No, I don't think you... Don't you just have to prove...
It was consideration for performance?
Well, I'm sorry, as far as the recipient's concerned, but all you have to approve on the,
if you want to make a lesser crime, but you're trying to create a lesser crime with a higher degree of liability, right? A higher standard of liability, but the only thing I think you could go to is just say that any kind of a gratuity is illegal, regardless of what its intent is. And I'm not so sure that's where we want to go. It might be desirable, but I don't think. Because then you put the civil service in a heck of a spot. I know when I used to work for the Justice Department, we were always worried about this darn stuff. I wouldn't even accept lunch from opposing counsel.
Yeah, your U.S. code is pretty strict on this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were in a very sensitive area, but
the penal code, though, kind of apologizes for even including it, doesn't it? According to the Rogers commentary, that may go beyond the proper limits of a criminal code revision project, and the commentary suggests that non-criminal sanctions against the offending public servant might be the preferred remedy.
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to delete Section 3.
Yeah, for example, in Michigan, they do not have a provision covering offering, but even their receiving requires that the public servant demand the unlawful gratuity. With knowledge, it isn't entitled.
Why don't you make your, not that it'll make any difference, make your motion divisible or divided, not attacking one, the offeror, or the bribor, or the gratuitor, or whatever it is.
I'll make it divisible, but I think the same argument applies to both cases.
Well, okay, let me ask Harl, how do you feel about it?
I agree.
Okay, then let's just make the Mr. Johnson move. We've already formed Mr. Johnson moves to eliminate Section 3 from the draft, the preliminary draft number 1. Any further discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Carried. If upon reflection we feel that Roger or Don or any one of us feel that we have left a hole or should beef up our definition of bribery again, and we can take another look at it. But as far as preliminary draft number 2 is concerned, it's out of there.
Well, I know when I even read the statutes this morning, looking through this thing, this really bothered me why we had this other section. I think one of the things we're trying to do is simplify the code, and it certainly doesn't simplify to have a statute on top of one like that.
Okay, Section 4.
Rewarding past official misconduct. Number 1 and 2.
I think this is fine, except that I would. Shouldn't that go in Section 2? Should this be a separate section?
You mean a part of bribery itself?
Yeah.
Well, the only problem there is, of course, you're not trying to influence him to do anything. You're rewarding him for something that's already been done.
Well, yeah, and I think here you say compensation for past official action implies a precedent for similar future compensation.
But then you're in bribery.
Well, assuming that there would be some future act, but...
Well...
But here, suppose you've got one act, and it's already taken place, and you, you're very pleased with this misconduct on the part of the official, and you want to reward him for it.
There are two examples at the bottom of page 21 about what they're trying to get at.
I certainly would put in the political contributions exception in this section.
You wouldn't?
I would.
You would.
Well?
Not for the misconduct, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're saying for the past violation of his duty.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Otherwise, I think you're right. But yeah. Then that they take it only to
That's right. Here you've got to actually prove that he violated his duty. Boy, this is this doesn't cover a hell of a lot, does it?
162-240. See, 162-240 touches upon this partly now, because it covers taking or demanding or accepting any fee, commission, etc., or other consideration for services rendered.
Yeah, I can see that to be
rendered or promised in could be. Yeah.
Well, should we let it stand as is? Renumbering it 1 and 2 and conform the style.
Now this is from New York, isn't it? Yeah. And model penal code both, yeah.
Well, now it will be right behind. Well, you'll be right behind bribery, so
yeah.
It won't be a part. But it'll
yeah.
be.
Yeah. No, it is a separate crime. It is. Well, it involves a violation of duty. It involves the past conduct. So I can see it should be.
Okay, let's go to section 5 then. Intimidation in public and political matters.
You know, if we'd started backwards and worked forward, we would have ended up carving these sections up. Probably left the way they are.
Well, that's the way the committee will do it when they go to full committee, I assure you.
Well, it should be renumbered 1 and 2 instead of A and B.
Well, I would say...
That's the problem here with party official.
I would suggest to any public servant, voter, or any other person, the question in my mind is if you threaten unlawful harm.
Yeah, then you have to go back to the definition of unlawful harm. Which means both pecuniary and...
Then you get into this problem, or anything so regarded by the person affected.
You know, now might be a good time to look at this. You know, we talked earlier about coercion. Now, we discussed coercion in this subcommittee in connection with the... with assault first. We took out of assault and then considered it, last time we talked about kidnapping, and we're sending it to the commission as part of a section on kidnapping and related offenses, but because we felt there should be a broad coercion statute. Now, it seems to me that coercion pretty well covers this kind of thing, doesn't it? Now, you might want to reserve any action on this because the commission will be considering kidnapping now on the 17th when we have our meeting. That's on the agenda for them. And if the commission decides to adopt this coercion provision, and that you can look at that in your books on page, it's under assault under assault and related offenses, preliminary draft number one, it's about the fourth green tab in your book, page 22.
Who's this?
Oh. Because that talks about compels or induces another to engage in conduct which the latter has a legal right to abstain from engaging in, or to abstain from engaging in conduct which he has a legal right to engage in.
And look at number 8. It confers public service.
Seems to cover the whole game.
Yeah.
The only reason the Model Penal Code suggested a separate statute from this article was that they thought that some states might want to make establish a more severe penalty for intimidation of public servants as opposed to just people.
Let's tentatively eliminate Section 5 from the preliminary draft along lines Don has indicated, with the understanding that coercion will be adopted in a similar form by the full committee as listed on page 22 at sec of the kidnapping section. And I would presume then the motion, Lee, that you're making would also include eliminating sections 6 and 7 from the definition, paragraph 6 and 7 from the definitions of section 1.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, we're taking out
so moved.
Party official and harm. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, keep by saying aye. Those opposed, aye.
Aye.
Carl aye. Those opposed, nay. Carry. Anything else for us to work on, Don?
Well, now we've got, I'm on page 29 now. We've still got
official misconduct.
Got another section or two here to look at.
You got motion, Lee?
Sorry about that.
29.
This is one way to reduce the crime rate, make more things legal.
Well, this is really, Roger, weren't you intending really just to gather up a bunch of statutes now that are on the books and...
Talking about official misconduct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And combine them under a broad provision here.
I don't know how many of them there were. We've got about 15 of them.
The misfeasance in office.
And there's a great deal of variation in the penalties. I see they've been here for 20 years.
This is really, this is again, the question is, elected officials, you throw them out of office, the recall, non-elected officials, they are subject to elected officials,
but if you look into the commentary though, guy, we've got a swarm of existing statutes that...
Yeah, but how many of these, do you want to bet, Don, were enacted by some disgruntled constituent who, some sheriff or some recorder did him dirt, and so they came down here and zinged him with a bill? The meeting will be over shortly, obviously. We've run out of cigarettes.
Well, this is my view. I mean, this is the old problem. Are you going to prosecute a district attorney for not failing to prosecute crimes of adultery?
Of course.
Well, you got to. There has to be an intent to.
We won't in the future because we won't have any such crimes.
Shh! Don't let that out here.
Yeah. but.
Carl and I got to run for re-election. We don't.
That doesn't mean that.
No, you voted for the fondling bill. I'm gonna send you up the list on that, the tally.
Yeah. Okay.
I already sent it to the Oregon.
And it came out of judiciary. I sent it unanimously.
I already sent it to the Oregon.
Yeah. One clearly inherent in the nature of his office. Gosh.
Well, there's a whole carload of them.
For instance, let's take the one that gives him 20 years. That's ORS 162.640, found on page 32. Prohibits any public officer from making a profit. Voting or otherwise using public funds in his custody.
Yeah, they're
Why had it? I got it out of
school clerks.
I got it just before you picked it up.
$1,000 fine. There's one on port commissioners, state treasurer.
This is just.
Roger.
I don't see that this is criminal conduct.
I don't either. I really don't. If it is, it should come under embezzlement or misappropriation of funds or some specific. For instance, here's one. Requires that all, and Roger pointed, 630, requires that all public officers, except school district clerks, and there are, they can violate this law, having custody of public funds as soon as practicable, pay the same to the county or state treasurer. You know, gee whiz, anybody with public funds.
I'll give you an example. The law says that I'm supposed to publish every opinion in my office. I'm supposed to give it in writing and publish it.
And if you don't, it's a crime?
Well,
would
be
they
a crime.
Hear, yeah.
Well,
you'd have to have an intent to obtain a benefit, either to yourself or to harm another.
Yeah, but what's a benefit? Reduce the workload?
Well, Roger?
Well, we define benefit, definition.
Well,
any gain, advantage, to benefit.
I'm trying to cut down the workload so we can get the salaries up.
It's pretty broad, any gain or advantage.
I think the question is, do we want to single out the misfeasance, as Roger, and the malfeasance, and the nonfeasance, and add another crime of just not being a good public officer? Because I think the benefit's so broad that not making a report is a benefit. I didn't have to make the report.
Of course, one thing I think that may not be commented upon in some of these other states, in some cases they do, particularly where you have a number of degrees of a crime, and that is the question of negotiated pleas, you know, and places to go with a crime where you've got a cop-out situation, where I think that explains some of these sections, particularly in Michigan, in the Michigan draft. They'll provide a section like this for the express purpose, or if not express, certainly implied purpose of providing a cop-out situation for the negotiated plea, where you've got some place to go with a crime, to let him plead to a lesser crime.
But isn't this the age-old problem of trying to outlaw everything that we're against in society, and some things are just not fit for criminal sanction? You're not going to solve the negotiated plea with this statute.
Well, I mean, it would seem to me it would give you a cop-out for a bribery.
Give you a cop-out for embezzlement. But the question is, do you want a cop-out for embezzlement?
Well, I see what you mean.
In other words, you've got something to plead to a lesser crime.
Yeah.
Rather than something like disorderly conduct.
I think bribery, the way you got it defined, you're going to have to give a fairly broad discretion in sentence.
Well,
Section 6 is based on the New York approach. The model penal code did not propose a section on official misconduct.
Well, and there's this about it. Now, these early drafts, you have to appreciate, I think, that when we're looking at our existing code and we're trying to show what we've got now and how it's going to relate to our new code, that it gives us a springboard for discussion. In other words, we may not want any of these things, but if we didn't provide some section in an early draft, then there are going to be a number of statutes around the books now that we're not even going to talk about. And then when we get ready to present this to the legislature, we're going to have a lot of dangling sections out here that I'm sure the legislature is going to want to know. You know, well, what
well,
about
this is where I think your commentary is going to say we repeal these sections. Following reasons.
But
I'm inclined to, I agree, Don, that this is, I think is the continuity is vital for our own benefit and for those when we go there. But I'm inclined to agree. I've gone through this and I don't see any, I'm just convinced that each one of these, if we study the history behind it, we'll find that some disgruntled legislator got burned by A starting at 4:30, a sheriff or a jailer, and 4:40, that's another sheriff or jailer, and then school, everybody with the school district clerk, so we could find some...
Well, you'd have an interesting grading situation on this section, because the 16 existing statutes range from a misdemeanor to 20 years and a $50,000 fine.
Correct.
And I would think that this section, if it were adopted, would be graded a misdemeanor.
Well, it just doesn't seem to me, I mean, this isn't what, isn't the threat of criminal prosecution that makes people perform in public office.
Thank you.
Well, before we slam the door here, Roger put in a tentative, pointing out the difference between the culpability element, the intent, and on page 34, section 7 and 8, divides official misconduct into two degrees. In the light of what Harl and Lee and apparently think in my views, I don't think we need to discuss this, but are you agreed, Harl and Lee, that section 6 can go night-night?
Yeah. I presume in that respect that as we go along, one of these days we're going to get to the point where we talk about, as Raj has put in here, all the existing law, the advisability perhaps of wiping some of these out.
Well, it is true that some of these statutes will be covered by other areas. I suppose a school clerk or a port commissioner using funds for his own use perhaps would come under embezzlement.
Oh, sure, where you've got a misuse of funds, yeah. Sure, those are going to be covered.
Of course, those are the most serious offenses in this area.
Oh yeah, that kind of thing. And we've talked about some of these other statutes in our drafts on theft, for example. Some of those would, some of these embezzlement statutes that are shredded out, we've got some 15 or 20 separate embezzlement statutes that would all be consolidated under theft. But
I think almost every one of these we could find some peculiar little aspect of the law, and that's generally bad legislation. I wonder if, just looking at 730, prohibits any officer from knowingly proceeding under an expired judicial order for the interception of telecommunications, radio communications, or conversation. Not knowing, but I wonder if that came out as a vice raid up in Portland. I wonder what the legislative history is. Some guy probably proceeded under an expired order.
Yeah, I think 167.515 at the bottom of page 32 came out of that Portland vice squad.
Chairman, are we adjourned?
Who refuses to diligently prosecute gambling violations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I assume then a motion would pass unanimously to remove section 6.
You have unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent.
Did this help you?
We didn't get many of this session, Mike.
Yeah, that's... I had before.
Anything else?
Tell me what...
All right.
Agree.
No,
that was minutes.
Yeah. Stand adjourned.
Well...